The supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Almighty Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum and welcome. We're talking about the concept of sacrifice in the view of Islam. I invite you to listen to us.
حول الرمال تلفني بل من ورائي واللحد يحكي ظلمة فيها ابتلائي والنور خط كتابه أنسي لقائي أنسي لقائي
Today, Monday, is the 8th of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of September, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Surah Safat, verse 102, we choose for blessing this moment of today's special.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Falamma balagha ma'ahu as-sa'ya qala ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni adhbahuka fanzur madha tara. قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين.
And when he reached with him the age of exertion, he said, O my son, indeed I have seen in a dream that I must sacrifice you. So see what you think. He said, O my father, do as you are commanded. You will find me, if Allah wills, of the steadfast.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
From one side, the father suggests the subject of sacrifice to his 13-year-old son and asks his view about it. He considers independent personality and freedom of decisions for him because he does never intend to deceive his son and blindly invites him to this great field of trial. He wishes that the son may also participate in this excellent struggle willingly and, like the father, tests the pleasure of submission and contentment. On the other side, the son intends that the father would be firm in his decision and he submits to his commandment. And on the third side, he keeps the state of courtesy at the presence of Allah in the best form. There was the story of sacrifice by Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ismail.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
At Islam and sacrifice. Islam simply means surrender to Allah of your whole being, not of just some possession. Put in the language of our present discourse, Islamic lifestyle. Islamic life is a life of sacrifice par excellence. It entails a struggle that must be ceaselessly waged to actualize Islam inwardly and outwardly to make it a living reality. Sacrifice is the nourishment without which the tiny seeds of faith will not grow into mighty leafy trees, providing shade and fruit to the countless caravans of mankind. It must be the constant companion without which the path of jihad cannot be traversed, for across it stretches endless deserts and high mountains. It is one of those keys without which the closed doors do not unlock.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the sacrifice and its role in people's lifestyle. Now we find that the role of being sacrificial or having a personality in order to give sacrifice to other people is very much highlighted in Islamic teachings. For example, you find that a teacher who goes to a class and starts teaching and spends his time and not on anything else, but on giving lessons to those people or to those students who may need those types of materials or instructions or indications, it can be regarded as a kind of sacrifice, because this teacher might be able not to spend his time in class, rather to spend his time elsewhere in order to earn more money. Yet he prefers to come to a class and to teach. In this connection, it's indicated that there are some indications, or there are some background features or background scenario wherein sacrifice makes sense. One of them is the context or the space. Now we find that the context or the space wherein a person is educated plays a key role in inviting the person, the individual, how to treat other people, whether to treat other people in a mercenary way or to treat other people out of respect and being ready to sacrifice some things for them.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Now we look at things to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. And today's suggestion is bad character. It's a good case for sacrificing. The things like arguing and lying are both part of bad character, along with other bad traits, such as cheating, treating people with contempt, and being unlike to poor people and orphans. Leaving behind these vices and making the intention to purify our hearts and consequently our actions is an act of worship that is greatly rewarded by Allah. When we make the intention to purify our character for the sake of Allah, we are essentially choosing the hardship of self-rectification over the comfort of remaining in old, unhealthy patterns of behavior. It is easy to be selfish. It is difficult to be generous. It is easy to cheat someone. It is more difficult to make an honest living. That is what makes it a sacrifice. And in return for the sacrifice, we get a house in the highest part of paradise. Inshallah. We are in the month of Safar. Now it's nice to look at an unforgettable sacrifice for Islam in Karbala. As the mission statement indicates, the instruments that the Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, planned to use to bring about the transformation of the society were those of to enjoin good and forbid evil. Now these injunctions are typically applied at the individual level. However, given that the very foundation of Muslim society had been seriously undermined, there was a dire necessity to apply these injunctions at the societal level. As a logical corollary, while the individual application of the injunction is done in private to protect the dignity of a Muslim whose actions one wishes to rectify, The societal application has to be done in the pen to draw the attention of a whole community to the actions that one would like to stop. Muslims everywhere would then be inclined to implement fundamental Islamic obligations of enjoining good and forbidding evil. If these obligations are carried out in a concerted and coordinated manner by protecting against and refusing to abide by alterations in religious ideology and practices, the society can reform itself and once again become followers of true Muslims.
Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was a role model. And a role model, a true role model, has to be exemplary at all times, even in those desperate conditions. And Imam al-Hussein still had to have that high level of morality, because he knew that the story of Ashura will be mentioned for thousands of years on the manabar, on the pulpits. And because he knew that this will be one of the greatest inspiring lessons of all time. And that's why Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, you see, never did he go down. Never did he go low. He kept the same standards towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards Ahlul Bayt. Because to him it didn't matter if he passed, if he prevailed against Yazid or not. Who cares? I'll die, I'll go to Rasulullah, to the heavens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold my enemies accountable. What matters is only one thing, that I succeed with Allah azza wa jal. That I leave a legacy, a noble legacy, a legacy filled with morality, and a legacy that other people can emulate after. That's all he cared about. That's why Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, yes, maybe physically we think he lost, but he prevailed against Yazid, because he's the one that left that beautiful legacy after him that we try to follow in his footsteps. So Imam al-Hussein didn't lose. In fact, he won. He prevailed against his enemies. That's why we always say the incident of Karbala is a true example of where the blood prevailed against the sword. Correct? The blood prevailed against the sword. Maybe physically Abu Abdullah was killed, but 1400 years later, are we mentioning Yazid or are we mentioning Imam al-Hussein?
Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on the words of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's elder grandson and second infallible heir, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him. Glory is to give in loss and forgive the sin, while chivalry is to safeguard the religion, promote the personality, be lenient, sustain in doing favours, fulfil the rights, and behave amicably with people.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, the Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite and narrate for you, our esteemed listeners, a beautiful hadith which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam regarding weeping from the fear of Allah. The fear of God is one of the central and most important virtues in the totality of Islamic virtues. It holds a central place in them. In fact, one might say that the fear of God, or which could perhaps be also translated as piety, is perhaps the single most central virtue in Islamic morality. This is something which we could perhaps debate and discuss at a more feasible time. But in any case, no one can doubt how important this is. And when this fear is coupled with weeping and the shedding of tears, it becomes even more beautiful and virtuous. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has been reported to have said, every single thing has a measure or a weight, except for tears. Ma min shay'in illa walahu kaylun aw waznun illa dumu. Meaning, you can evaluate, you can estimate the value of everything, right? Except for tears, which can be said to not have any fixed measure. Why? The Imam elucidates on this. For one drop of them can extinguish seas of fire. One drop, which is of tears, which is shed in the fear of God, can extinguish the fire of hell, which is infinite. Right? If an eye is filled with tears, the Imam says, the face will never be burdened with neediness or humiliation. And if it floods with tears, then Allah will make it unlawful for the fire to touch it. Indeed, the Imam says, if a teary man cries for a community, they all receive mercy. This is interesting, right? Not only do the tears which we shed and which come out of our eyes for the fear of God, you know, or from the remorse that we have over our own sins, do they have the value of, extinguishing the fire of hell? But if a man cries for his community, for the sins which are being committed in his community by others, on their behalf, right, then these tears and this weeping and this remorse also has the power extinguish the fire of hell and the punishment, which would perhaps be meted out to those other people who are sinning in this person's community. And this community would be shown mercy. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the value of tears which are shed in the fear of God. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, and also in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International School. So we have here again Brother Hussein Ruhullah and Fawad Haider, and also Sayyid Ali Nasir and Habibullah Fasihzada here with you. So, salam, Fawad Haider, how are you?
Fine, sir, how are
fine?
You?
Fine, okay, alhamdulillah. And Hussein Ruhullah?
Fine, sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. And Sayyid Ali Nasir, are you okay?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay. So, alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah Almighty that everyone is fine. We hope that you are fine as well, inshallah, and doing well.
في القرآن سعادتنا مدى الأزمان وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح ويطوي
عثرة المجروح. So today, as we had promised you, we will go through the practical reading and tajweed rules of Quran Kareem. So in this session, inshallah, whatever we had learned in level 3 of our Quranic sessions in Tajweed, yes? So we will go, inshallah, and read the verses of the Holy Quran and practice all those rules that we have learned so far. All right, Hussein Rahullah? Yeah?
Yes.
Was level 3, the Tajweed rules, beneficial for you?
Yes.
Did you learn something?
Yes.
Okay, inshallah, we'll see today, okay? Fawad Haider, did you learn something?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Let's see what you have learned, okay? Can you practice? Can you apply all those rules in the on the verses of the Holy Quran or no, okay? Or they were just something you learned, and our brothers and sisters also something they just learned, okay? Like other things. But let's see. In practical, when it comes to practice, when it comes to apply the rules, okay, it is kind of challenging. But if you have learned the rules correctly and without any problem, and the rules are now like very clear, very much clear to you, So there will be no problem, okay, for you to practice to apply all those rules, okay? So all the tajweed rules, no problem. Ali Nasir, did you learn something during the classes?
Yes.
Of course you have. So, and it's not going to be difficult for you to apply the rules, right?
No.
Okay, inshallah. So,
inshallah.
We will go through the Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah of the Quran Kareem. So some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah, we'll practice, we will recite and read, then apply the rules. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Surah Al-Baqarah starts from second page of the Quran Kareem. Starts with Alif, Lam, Mim. Okay. Ready? Let's recite a salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل فرج.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ألف لام ميم.
ألف لام ميم.
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه.
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه.
هدى للمتقين.
هدى للمتقين.
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون.
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. وبالآخرة هم يوقنون.
وبالآخرة هم يوقنون.
أولئك على هدى من ربهم.
أولئك على هدى من ربهم.
وأولئك هم المفلحون.
وأولئك هم المفلحون.
أحسن. Okay, inshallah, we'll go through the practical section of these five ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then after we finished, inshallah, we'll continue through the next ayahs, all right?
قلب
بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
So the first ayah starts with
Alif Lam Mim.
Oh no. First ayah starts with
Bismillah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is part of the ayah, okay? So always all the surahs that start with Bismillah except one surah, so that Bismillah is part of the surah, okay?
Yes.
And I actually studied, okay, one of the interpretations of the Quran Kareem. It was saying, I think it was a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that says that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the crown of all surahs. You see, the crown. The crown is like, it shows the position, it shows the rank, or it shows the importance or the value of something. Yes, when a prince okay puts on a crown, okay, so it shows that he is an important person, okay, not he's not like normal people, so he is something. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is like the crown of the other ayahs, the other surahs. So don't forget Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as we believe Shia Muslims, okay, it is part of the ayah, okay.
Yes.
So, in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, so how many tajweed rules do we have to apply here? The first one, Bismillah, and the word?
Allah.
Allah. So, what rule? The rule of?
Pronouncing heavily or lightly.
Pronouncing heavily or lightly, the letter?
Allah.
Allah. The letter lam of the word Allah. Okay. So here, what rule is applied? Which one? Heavy lam or light lam?
Light
one. Why?
Because there's a kasra.
Because we have a kasra before the word Allah. So whenever, the rule was this. Ali Nasir, that whenever we have a kasra before the word Allah,
we will pronounce lightly.
Whenever we have kasra, it is lightly pronounced. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Allah, like this.
Yes.
But whenever we have illa, whenever we have dhamma or fatha before the word Allah or Allahumma, we pronounce it as
heavily.
Allah. Heavily. Allah. The lam will be la. La. Okay? La. La. These two different pronunciations. So, this one, Bismillah, has a kasra before, yeah?
Yes.
Read it before Al-Haydar. Read it once.
Bismillah.
Nice one. Bismillah. Do not say Bismillah. No, okay. And Hussein Rahullah, how do you read this?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. Ali Nasir?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. Great. Bismillah. Then, here, Rahman. Okay. So, we have a Hamzatul Wasl there. In the word Allah as well, we skip it. Okay. The rules of Hamzatul Wasl as well, we studied. How many cases do you think we had for Hamzatul Wasl? Two cases. Okay. First one, we skip. There is a case, okay, that we skip Hamzatul Wasl. We do not read Hamzatul Wasl. Or sometimes we read Hamzatul Wasl. So when do we read Hamzatul Wasl? And when should we skip Hamzatul Wasl? There were two rules.
When it comes starting.
When it comes at the beginning of the word and you start from that word. You start reading from that word. For example, if I start reading from Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If I start from Ar-Rahman, okay, I have to pronounce that Hamzatul Wasl. Do you see that Hamzatul Wasl?
Yes.
An Alif, the front of Sad, or the first part of Sad is on the top. That is called Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl is opposite to Hamzatul Qat'a. Hamzatul Qat'a, it is an Alif, or sometimes a Waw, or sometimes a Hamza alone, or sometimes a Ya, but on the top of these three letters, we have a Hamza. That is Hamzatul Qata. It must be pronounced. Okay, it must be pronounced. Because it takes a harakat. Either on the top, like a fatha or a dhamma, or beneath. Okay, like a kasra. Also, it takes like tanwin fatha, tanwin kasra, tanwin dhamma. Or it takes sukun as well. But Hamzatul Wasl has never a harakat, except when you pronounce it.
Does it make any difference like Hamzatul Qata is under a word or over a word?
No. Hamzatul Qata, okay, it is. It has like many positions like this, okay? Either it comes on the top of Aleph or beneath Aleph. Or either it comes on the top of Ya or beneath Ya. Or on the top of Waw or sometimes alone, these many positions.
Does it make any difference?
No. It depends on the word. Sometimes you have waw, okay? On the top of waw, you have that hamza. It means that is hamza. Waw is just like a chair, okay? It's nothing. You don't have to read that waw, okay? You have to read that hamza. For example, mu'min. Mu'min, okay? There is no actual reason for this, okay? That's the way that Arabs, okay, write and the Arabs speak. All right, Fawad? Now, so Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qatf, we talked about them in level 2 as well, okay? That if you skip Hamzatul Wasl, it doesn't have any harakat. So it's neither sucking, okay? You skip it, you do not read it, as if it's not there, okay? As if it's not there. Like, for example, you see, Bismillah, Bismillah. But if you read Hamzatul Wasl, you say this way. You read, Bismillah. It's wrong. So if you join together, Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped. Bismillah. Okay? Yes. And all the words, I will repeat this, all the words in the Quran Karim, in Arabic words, that start with Alif and Lam, that Hamzatul Wasl plus Lam Ta'rif. Whenever you want to start at that from that word, okay, you put a fatha on the top of Hamzatul Wasl and read it. Not a kasra, not a dhamma. What? A fatha. Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, As-Sama, Al-Jibal, Al-Ard, whatever. Alif Lam. It's the rule for the words having Alif and Lam Ta'rif. Okay? It is the rule. For the rest of the words, we have different rules. Okay? So, for the verbs, we have one special rule. For the nouns, we have another special rule, okay? We have different rules that we covered them. But inshallah, through as we go on, I will tell you. We'll review them. Inshallah, in the next, after taking a break, okay, stay with us, brothers and sisters. We'll come back and help you again with the next sections of this surah. Let's recite a salawat, inshallah, and we will be back.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Your horse returns to our camp riderless.
Azuru Sayyidi wa Mawlai wa Mu'tamadi wa Rajai.
The ocean of dua.
Al Imam al Hussein.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves? Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyaratu Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyaratu al-Ashura. So stay with us.
وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing this excerpt of Ziyaratu al-Ashura. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ May Allah distance from His mercy the clan of Ziyad and the clan of Marwan. We started to introduce Marwan and
ziyad first in order to get to know and have a better understanding of what al ziyad and al marwan are. Though what we came to understand in the previous episode is that human being is tantamount to his thoughts and beliefs and words and deeds, and Al-Ziyad and Al-Marwan are not limited to those who lived in that era and did those atrocities, or limited to those who are from the same origin. No. The one who still believes in that thought, the one who still carries out those atrocities against the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, he can be counted as Al-Ziyad and Al-Marwan. And he deserves to be cursed. He deserves to be called لعن الله آل زياد لعن الله آل مروان. As one example, we had a look at what history revealed to us about Salah al-Din Ayyubi and what kinds of atrocities he did throughout his life against the Shias. This cannot be except for the hatred against the Ahlul Bayt. And hatred against the Ahlul Bayt and their followers, we must know, according to some of our traditions, transforms one into a condition that is even lower than a dog, even dirtier than a dog. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى لَمْ يَخْلُقْ خَلْقًا أَنْجَسْ مِنَ الْكَلْبِ. Indeed, Allah, the Blessed, the Exalted, did not create any creation more impure than the dog. وَإِنَّ النَّاصِبَ لَنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ أَنْجَسْ مِنَ. Surely, the one who hates us, the Ahlul Bayt, is more impure than it. And let me make that clear once again, that this Ziyad was the first one to openly announce and begin the vilification or sab of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the cities of Basra and Kufa he was ruling. In another tradition, Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said, وَالنَّاصِبُ شَرٌ مِّن وَلَدِ الزِّنَا. And the nasib, the one who hates the Ahlul Bayt, the one who curses them, the one who admits vilification of the Ahlul Bayt, is worse than the offspring of adultery.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Brothers and sisters, before we move on and continue with our discussion about this part of Ziyaratul Ashura, let me clarify once again that we have taken great help in throughout our programs of talking about the different commentaries and meanings of Ziyaratul Ashura, we have taken great help from the book named as The Sacred Effusion, available at al-islam.org. This book has introduced in great chapters the different possible meanings of excerpt of Ziyaratul Ashura, and it has been translated to English recently so that we can benefit from. Anyway, let us move on with the concept of hatred against the Ahlul Bayt. Once a person comes to Imam Baqir alayhi salam and informs him about how his neighbor does not practice any of the obligatory deeds, including the prayer, Imam alayhi salam became surprised, but said what is more surprising to the man informing Imam. Imam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَنْ هُوَ شَرٌّ مِنْهُ. Should I not inform you of the one who is more evil than him? The companion said, yes indeed, بَلَا. And thereupon Imam alayhi salam said, النَّاصِبُ لَنَا شَرٌّ مِنْهُ. The one who hates us is more evil than him. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this regard, is reported to have said, وَأَمَّا النَّاصِبُ لَنَا وَالْمُعَادِي لَنَا فَمُشْرِكٌ كَافِرٌ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ. The one who hates us, the one who shows his enmity to us, is a polytheist, is a disbeliever, and an enemy of Allah. Now, I assume we have come to know a little bit about Ziyad, and now we come to an understanding, better understanding of who Al-Ziyad is. Let us conclude our episode with a tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who is reported to have said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ لَيَشْفَعُ لِحَمِيمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ نَاصِبًا. Indeed, a believer can intercede for his close friend, except if he, the friend, hates the Ahlul Bayt. وَلَوْ أَنَّ نَاصِبًا شَفَّعَ لَهُ كُلُّ نَبِيٍّ مُرْسَلٍ وَمَلَكٍ مُقَرَّبٍ مَا شُفِّعُ. And if every prophet and angel brought close to Allah were to intercede for a nasib, the one who hates the Ahlul Bayt, their intercession would not be accepted. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. In the studio with me, I have the honor of being joined by my brothers, Brother Habib and Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum, gentlemen.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Because the events of Ashura and the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, note the fact that I chose the word movement, not anything else.
Thank you very much.
The movement of Imam al-Hussein and the event of Karbala, it's so multifaceted and it's so dynamic and it's so full of life, like 1400 years later, and people are still deriving so many messages and are developing deeper understandings of the things that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam did. I feel like because of that, there's still a lot of concepts therein that we need to clarify, right? All right, so there's two questions that I have here. Number one, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam rose to establish justice, right? Mm-hmm. That's understandable because it was his responsibility as divine leader, right? To establish justice. And the question, however, I have is that he set off, he got killed. What justice was established?
Mm-hmm.
What rights did he gain for anyone, anywhere? I mean, even after
can I
that,
add to a question and
the Ahlul Bayt were under even more pressure.
Yeah. Medina was attacked by Yazid.
Exactly,
after the death
and the Kaaba was burned
down. The Kaaba
was
burned down. People still, the saying that's available. وَارْتَدَّ النَّاسِ عَنِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا ثَلَاثَ بَعْدَ مَقْتَلِ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And then they state the three companions of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. So where was the justice?
By killing a person and thinking that you have put up everything and you have actually closed it down and nothing comes up. So it's wrong understanding.
Are you saying that it had long-term
effects?
So
this blood, actually, this is the blood that is flourishing, that it comes up and actually this gives life to the Islamic Ummah.
Through generations.
Yeah. What is Yazid now and what is Hussein? What is the status of Yazid in Islamic Ummah? So, let me tell you some quotes from Islamic scholars about Yazid.
Before